Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Here we are again. Good evening to you and welcome to Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. It's Gareth O'Callaghan with you between now and midnight tonight. Lovely to know that you're there. If you'd like to be here and give us a shout, talk about a couple of the items we're going to discuss tonight. Maybe just chip in how you feel about some of the stuff that we're going to deal with, and maybe there's an item you'd like to deal with as well. 087-188-0008, that is the WhatsApp number. Now, we have a new email address. You might like to make a note of it mentally or maybe on your phone. It's Nighttime Talk, so that's nighttime, two words, and you can either use N-I-T-E if you want to be real cool, or if you want to be real grammatically correct, N-I-G-H-T. So Nighttime Talk at classichits.ie, okay? That's the end of the English lesson for today, anyway. I hope you're well. I hope you've had a good day. Bit of a change in the weather, I'm afraid, but there's not a lot we can do about that, that's for sure. Now, coming up on the show tonight, as you just heard, 69 deaths in the first 115 days of this particular year. Four road deaths in 4 days over this week alone. The carnage on our roads has reached a point where it's difficult to keep account of those who have lost their lives and those who have been seriously injured. The deaths of four more people on the roads in the last 4 days have sparked calls for tougher sanctions to bring back the, quote, fear of penalty points. So that kind of reminds me of how afraid we were when penalty points were introduced all those years ago. Very few people would actually lift their mobile phones while they were driving because they were terrified that they'd end up with a couple of points on their licence. Now, no one seems to care. And also for the likes of other road traffic offences, penalty points are there. And, you know, I mean, the number of people who now have 8, 9, 10 penalty points on their licence, and it just doesn't seem to make any difference. They're just hoping they don't get to 12 and that, you know, they lose their licence. They've got to come off the road. But once you can kind of keep it, somebody said to me 2 weeks ago, once you can kind of keep it below 7 or 8 and you can afford the additional insurance premium, you should be doing okay. It appears that no amount of television advertising broadcasting in the hope that drivers will slow down, get off their phones, have some respect for other drivers, just cop on basically, is helping to curb the carnage on Irish roads. And the latest reports are now saying that these huge colourful screens that sit mid-dashboard in the brand new SUVs are a major distraction. One critic recently said that they are as bad as using your phone while driving. So what can we do, or can anything be done? Do people really care anymore? There's so much on people's minds. That people are so angry at the moment, so angry about so many issues, that it's difficult to keep your mind away from those issues when you're driving your car, particularly if you're having a conversation or, as the case is, if you're on the phone. So how do we change things? How do we bring things back into perspective? How do we lower the numbers of deaths and the numbers of serious life-changing injuries that are affecting so many people in recent times? Four road deaths in 4 days. Let me know if you have a view on this. If you think there's something that could be done that hasn't already been talked about, well, get on to us. 087-188-0008. If you've had a bad experience on the roads lately, I'd like to hear what happened. If you've been involved in an extremely bad accident and it's led to life-changing injuries, I'd like to chat to you tonight. Give us a shout. 087-188-0008. Now, also coming up this evening, we're going to be chatting about ageism. What is ageism? How do you recognise it? Basically, ageism, it's a word that's so misleading, whereas if you say age discrimination, it makes sense to most people, particularly people who have been discriminated as a result of their age. And the thing about age discrimination is that you don't have to be old to be discriminated against. You, for example, you could be, say, 42 years of age and you come back from maternity leave and you find that there's somebody else doing your job, okay? And you've been moved from that position and you've been moved somewhere else because you're told there's someone younger doing your job, and they're, you find out eventually that they're actually doing it for three quarters what you're being paid. That's ageism. That's age discrimination. You don't have to be in your 60s or 70s. But a lot of people who are in their 60s and 70s find that they are being discriminated against for a variety of different things. And it reared its head last night during a conversation we were having when a young listener basically said words to the effect that old people annoyed her. And I kind of had a bit of a laugh about it. But one of the listeners who was actually on the line waiting to talk to us was 60 years of age. And also one of the women who was about to talk about a similar topic that we were talking about last night took real exception to it. And that was a classic example and a reminder to me of how people are affected emotionally and personally affected by age discrimination, by ageism. Everybody has different reasons and different examples and different experiences of it. So have you found yourself being discriminated against because of your age? Okay, that's the question. Think about it. It's certainly something you'll remember because it's a very humiliating. It's a very humiliating thing when it happens. And if anything, it makes you feel old, even though you might not be old. And it draws attention to the fact that, yeah, you're getting older and that perhaps somebody who's younger than you doesn't understand the implications of getting that little bit older. So many different levels to it, and we'll have a chat about it, and I'd love to hear your experience on it. 087-188-0008. Tell you a story. Something happened to me today in relation to, I suppose it is age discrimination, actually. I was out doing a bit of shopping, and I was in a supermarket, and a guy called Brian approached me, and I'd never met Brian before, but Brian said to me, "I was listening to you last night on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio." And he said, "I heard that moment when that young lady mentioned that old people annoyed her." I can't remember the exact words, but it was words to that effect. And he said, "Can I tell you a story?" And it was extraordinary, the story he told me. I asked him, "Would you like to come on and have a chat?" But he said, "No," because his voice is very recognisable and a lot of his friends listen to the show. So he said, "But I'd be delighted if you tell people the story, because I'd love to know if I'm alone in this or if other people are going through this experience." Brian told me he's 73 years of age. He's a widower. His wife died quite some years back. But about 3 years ago, he met a beautiful woman who's also a widow called Alice. She's 60. She's 13 years younger than Brian. And they are madly head over heels in love. And 3 years on, they have decided to move in together and they're living together. Now, they've no real intention of getting married. They're just blissfully happy and they're like two young kids again. Found the spark of life, lovely energy, and a lovely dynamic between the two of them. And they're enjoying their time together. They travel a fair bit and they just love each other's company. But Brian was saying to me that his son, who he hasn't seen for nearly 15 years, got in touch about a year ago. And he said, "What's up?" And he said, "What do you mean, what's up?" And he says, "I hear you're living with a woman." He said, "I am. Her name is Alice. And we met a few years back and we've moved in together." And a number of things happened after that. It all went very quiet again for a while. You've got to remember that his son hasn't been in contact with him and he's the only kid in the family. And Brian's doctor, his GP, rang him about 2 weeks ago. And he said, "Brian, how are you? How are you feeling? Is everything okay? I haven't seen you in a while." And Brian said, "I'm fantastic. I'm in love." And the doctor said, "So I hear." And he said, "How did you know that?" And he said, "Well, your daughter-in-law, your son's wife, got in contact with me. And she said that the two of them are very concerned about you." And he said, "Why? Are they jealous?" He said, "No, actually, they're very concerned about you. She thinks you have dementia." And he said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Because you haven't come near me and I just assumed that you were well." And he says, I can tell now you are. "But they're very concerned that you're making decisions that perhaps you don't know the implications of. And Brian explained to him that his son and his daughter-in-law, who he doesn't have much time for, never did, were basically sticking their nose into his business, and it was none of their business. And Brian explained to the doctor that he thought that their concern was the fact that the money he had would be passed to Alice, the woman he was now living with, if anything happened to him, and that she would get ownership of the house. So the whole inheritance thing came up. And Brian said, I'll call into you. We'll do a quick check if you want to have a check on me. And he said, no, there's no need to come near me. He said, once you're okay. So he said, I put the phone down and I explained what happened to Alice. And we were both absolutely shocked that my son and his wife would interfere in my life, in the most private areas of my life, my health, and go behind my back to my GP and tell him that they suspected that I had dementia, when you consider that I haven't seen my son or his wife for 15 years. And I was standing there in the supermarket talking to Brian, and we must have been chatting for about 40 minutes. And I said, please come out and have a chat about this. He said, no, please, but obviously change my name and change my partner's name. I said, of course I will. And he said, tell everybody the story. I said, wow. And I was explaining it to Jane when I got in earlier on, and she was stunned by this. And I'd love to hear if a similar situation has happened to you. Now, this is age discrimination on a level that I've never heard of in my life. Interference into really, really confidential personal business, the business of someone's private health. And I'm just wondering, is this kind of becoming a more, I suppose, regular thing with families? Now, I know families don't often get on well together. I think the majority of families have problems. You know, if you lift the roof on anyone's house, you'll find there's problems there waiting for you. But what do you think? Is this something that resonates with you? Is it something that you can relate to? Anyway, give us a shout. 087-188-0008. Brian, and you know what your real name is, I'm delighted you're so happy, and it's lovely to know you're listening, and it's lovely to know that you enjoyed the last couple of night's shows, OK? 087-188-0008. Let's say hello to Margaret. Hi, Margaret.
No. Oh, God almighty. I said to the girl on the phone, I'm not going to remember your name.
Gareth.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Gareth.
I'm not.
Jesus God.
I'm not Brian.
I'm sorry. Stop the lights.
That's okay. Do you know something? I have to.
Oh, sorry, Gareth.
That's okay.
There's... My apologies for that.
That's okay. There was one day.
Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I was listening last night, and when I heard that Angelina, I was hopping here. And I mean hopping.
Yeah.
If I could have got on the air last night, I would have absolutely lambasted that one. I swear to God, she was appalling last night on the air. She had no manners as regards people that's even 10 years older than herself.
Hmm.
Her, you know, I'll be 67 in August.
Yeah.
I walk 4 to 6 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying to the girl that rang me, I was just pulling into the driveway, and I said to her, oh, holy God, I said, it's freezing out tonight. I said, my hands are frozen. I'm after being on the beach walking. I spent 2 hours on the beach, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I keep myself healthy. Now, I've had cancer, don't get me wrong.
Right.
I have that hump. I had a mild heart attack at 32. And when I was 18, I was nearly killed in a car crash. But look, I have 9 lives. I'm still alive and I'm kicking.
And you have a huge medical file like me.
Oh, look, tell me about it. Yeah, they say to me in Beaumont, oh, God, I think we're going to have to make another one up on you, you know? Well, I said, that's falling apart.
Yeah.
They've elastics around it and everything trying to hold it together.
Yeah.
But look, what that gentleman and his girlfriend is going through is very common in Ireland at the moment, because unfortunately, when parents get on in life, you know, I don't consider anybody old until they're in their 80s. I'm young. I consider myself young. I'll be 67 in August, please God. And every year I get my own mother, God rest her, finished night duty on the Saturday morning, and on the Monday morning she took a massive coronary in the bed, which was with Monday, which is 6th of June, is my mammy's anniversary.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was only 61 years of age. And mammy had 10 children, you know, and she was a nurse all her life for 44 years. And my daddy the same. Now, my daddy lived a good few years after me mammy died, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he was brokenhearted. But I find now children, and I have three of my own. And you know what? It's all about me.
Mm.
It's not all about you, mammy. It's all about me. Now, they've all excellent jobs, well-paid jobs, the whole three of them, thank God. But at the end of the day, I'm as proud as punch of each and every one of them. I love them dearly. And, you know, I'm divorced, you know, and all that. And, you know, one of them said to me, like that gentleman, I haven't spoken to two of my children since my husband walked out and left me, right?
Right.
And that was in 2006. And one of the children contacted me 3-4 years ago because he heard I had cancer. And I said, yeah, I'm grand. I'm getting over it now. And he said, well, he said, I said I'd get in contact with you because he said, mammy, I'm just hoping now if you have the will made that you're going to do the right thing. I said, what?
God, Jesus.
So, you know, Gareth,
yeah.
You know, it's a similar thing.
Margaret,
you know?
What does he mean, do the right thing?
Well, in other words, leave
the house to him, yeah.
No, well, make sure that you look after your children, basically.
Oh, God.
Even though I haven't spoken to one of them since 2005,
yeah.
And another one 2004.
20 years.
And I was never at any of their weddings.
And does it get easier as time goes by, or do you still wish that things were different?
My heart is broken.
Oh, dear.
It's the longing. I have 6 grandchildren. I have 4 I've never seen in my life, and I've seen 2 of them.
Gosh.
You know, and my neighbours were at my children's wedding, but their own mother wasn't. And I have photographs here in the house because I got them off my neighbours. Other than that, I wouldn't have known what they looked like when they got married.
And how does that feel, being a mother?
It hurts because you bring children into the world, you carry them. I fed all my children myself for 3 months. And I nursed them. I loved them. You work hard all your life to make sure that, you know, that they're given the best in life. My daughter's a consultant. My son, eldest son, is a nursing director. And my baby is a civil engineer. So they've all excellent jobs. And, you know, my husband, ex-husband, said he done it all. I said, where the hell was I? You know?
When he said he'd done it all, he reared them.
In the affidavit.
In the
affidavit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, he'd done it all. And I said to my barrister, I said, I worked.
Yeah.
The 2 wage packets were put together. Bills were wrote down. And then whatever was left was for to keep us going for the fortnight.
Yeah.
You know? Like anybody else. We were no different to anybody else. You know? And in the 80s, we had a crash here in Ireland to beat the band, and remortgage payments went up to 19.5%. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Yeah. Can I bring you and back? I mean, can I bring you back to you know, the kids? And they're mm-hmm. not kids anymore now. Like
no, they're all mothers and fathers.
But I'm sure you know in your heart, in the deepest places mm-hmm. in your heart, that they mm-hmm. go to bed at night, and probably the last thing they think of is you. That they go to sleep wondering how you are. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would hope they think about me.
Yeah.
I would hope. But I don't know because, I mean, my husband walked out and left me.
Yeah.
For somebody else. But they turned their backs on me. Mm. I don't get it, Gareth.
Yeah.
I don't get it. If I was the one, as my father used to say, oh, that one is a hussy. Having an affair with whoever.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it was years ago. People spoke out freely. You're afraid to open your living mouth now anymore.
That's right.
You know, and society has gone bananas. And young people nowadays, not all, I'm not casting aspersions on every young person, and I'm not. Mm-hmm. There are some good, decent people out there. But there's some people like that Angelina last night was an utter disgrace. And if I had got on, I would have said to her, how do you feel talking about your mother like that? Hmm. Because that's what I would have said to her.
I was trying to think to myself what she was getting at, because obviously the reaction to her was fairly fast. And I think she got a bit of a fright. The reaction was so fast. I don't know. I think it
came across as a very selfish attitude, and her whole thing about, oh, the older, the elderly people are the fuddy duddy. In other words, you know, we have no brain cell left up there. Like, do you know what I mean? And I mean, it was my parents and my parents' parents, and I'm sure you could go back in your own family tree and say that made this country what it is.
Mm.
But now it's gone way off the beaten track. It's gone absolutely ridiculous in this country.
Yeah.
You know? Look, and there's absolutely no respect for the elderly at all.
Remember one thing, you have to keep yourself healthy and you have mm-hmm. to do everything in your power to do that. You're the priority here. You know the way when you, I always think whenever you're watching the flight stewards on a flight and they say,
oh yeah,
put on the oxygen mask on your own face before you put it on the face of your kids. Because
yeah.
you're
yeah.
the only one who can look after yourself.
Can save them if, yeah,
well, to save yourself. No. If you can't
yourself,
look after
yeah.
yourself, you can't look after anyone
yeah.
else. Margaret, I wish
but
you well.
But you know, yeah. Gareth, you know, at the end of the day, the most important thing is in this world of ours that we're living in this present moment in time,
mm.
that people are playing politics, especially when I heard on the news there at 9 o'clock. Now, I know I'm going off the beaten track from the discussion that you're having and Mr. Harris going on about not sending back refugees who came here illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we do that? I mean, really? If you were in another country, you wouldn't get into Australia or America. They'd hunt you down in New Zealand until they found you.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, it's wrong what's going on in this country. It's absolutely wrong what's going on in this country.
Yeah.
And then people driving cars and they photocopying old discs and then trying to change them, thinking that they can get away with it.
I know. As they say, the country's gone mad.
You know, it is gone mad, Gareth. And it's a sad, sad state of affairs. Because when I was a young girl growing up, we played in the forest. We used to go to the beach for the whole of the summer.
Hmm.
We used to have a wall at the end of our road where we used to sit on with our friends. We used to play with our dolls and our prams. And the lads would be kicking football and they'd have their cowboy and Indian outfits on them with their guns, playing, chasing. I mean, do you see any of that anymore, Gareth? You
no,
don't.
No. I'm going to have
people's
to,
childhood is completely different.
I know.
You know, and it's all computer.
That's a subject I'm going to come back to next week. So
yeah.
But thanks again for sharing now, your own story, Margaret.
And my apologies again, Gary, for not getting your name. I'm so used to saying Niall. And I said to the girl when she rang me, I said, "Oh, I hope I remember his name." I said, "Oh my God!"
Don't worry, you know? Not at all. I hope we remember.
Look,
Niall's
and
name
the very best
time.
Of luck to you.
Thank you.
I hope your bosses have given you the good news. You're holding the slot. You sound a very nice gentleman. I have never met you or anything like that. I never met Niall either, but Niall was a very nice gentleman on the on the phone and on his show. A very caring person, I have to say. And I know I listen to the show all the time, and the girls there, Jane and Amanda, and there was another young lad there, a couple of staff there.
Ryan is there.
Very
and Molly,
nice.
Yeah. Listen, Margaret.
Yeah, very nice.
I have to take a break.
Look,
but
the
I
best
want
of luck
to
you.
Thanks a lot.
I will indeed. Take care of yourself. God bless.
Mind yourself.
Bye.
Lovely talking to you. Thank you. There you are. By the way, in relation to Angelina, she's not on the line, so, you know, she's not here. And, you know, obviously she can have the right to reply if she wants to give us a call back. But obviously, you know, it's important that we remember she didn't mean any bad. She didn't mean any badness last night. It's the sort of thing, actually, I've heard people say things like that, you know, "Oh, older people annoy me. They don't get it." And I think what she was saying was that they don't get young people today. And that's actually a point Margaret said. Young people today are very different to when we were young people, which is natural. You know, the rite of passage and the passage of time, that's for sure. Jessica and David, I'm going to be coming to you in a second. I've got to take a break. It's just coming up to 9:30. If you want to get involved tonight on Nighttime Talk, 087-188-0008.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk
with Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Now, we're talking about ageism this evening. It's also called age discrimination, and it makes more sense when you call it age discrimination. It's discriminating against people because of their age, okay? So you can be 25 and be discriminated against, you know, but you can be told, like, for example, there used to be a time that if you got to the age of 35, you couldn't apply to become a member of the Garda Síochána. But now you can. Now you can. You can actually become a member of the Garda Síochána up until, I think, they can into your 40s anyway. So then, of course, I was talking to a guard there last week, actually, and she says, "How old are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm actually 63. She says, "Oh." And I was waiting for her to say it. "You're a bit old to be a Garda." Not that I would want to be at my age, mind you, but I did think about it when I was younger. Age discrimination is when someone treats you unfairly because of your age. That's it, basically. It can also include the way that older people are represented, say, in the media. You know, some of these ads where, you know, you see these elderly couples walking hand in hand along the beach and, you know, then the voiceover says, you know, "Have you put money aside for afterwards?" And you're thinking, wait a minute, they're not even old. They look healthy, you know. And okay, yeah, it's worth having savings alongside. But you kind of immediately begin to think, am I being discriminated because of my age? So if you experience age discrimination, it can impact on your confidence, your job prospects, your financial situation, your quality of life. It can really mess you up if it gets in on you. David is there. Hi, David.
Hi, Gareth. How the devil are you? We've not met before. So, are you going to get the gig if Niall goes off to Europe?
Well, he hasn't knocked on my door yet. Has he knocked on your door, by the way?
I spoke to him at lunchtime today, actually, on his podcast. congratulated him on the choice. It's a brilliant idea. It's we need some sensible people.
I have to draw the line there because, you know, we're kind of turning it into a political broadcast on his behalf if we say it's a great idea that he's doing this. So, really,
It's fine.
No, don't. And, you know, and the thing about it is I'm delighted he's happy because I've never seen him so happy. And I really hope things go well for him. But obviously, you know, the number of people who've come up to me over the last couple of days saying, you know, I'm delighted he's doing this because this and we need this and we need that, we need this.
Yeah.
We do. And if he was sitting here still tonight, he would be saying the very same thing. But yeah. but you know, unfortunately, the broadcasting regulations say, you know.
You've got to have somebody on to say the opposite.
Yeah. No. When I wake up in the morning and there's a message on my phone saying, can you drop into us at 8:30? We'd like to have a chat with you.
I think that's rather sad that, you know, the fact that I think that Helen McAtee shouldn't be anywhere near any job of responsibility, and certainly nothing to do with the country. Would get you into political trouble.
Well, yeah, it would if I was to say it, but it wouldn't because you've said it. So, see, there's a difference between being the presenter and being the contributor.
I'm sorry, I understand now what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
Well, I can send you on the chat show host's manual of guidelines if you like to read them.
No, because I'm over 65. I can ignore everything now.
So you're,
I've got old people's rights.
Right. So you're actually calling out your own age discrimination. Is that the case?
Oh, absolutely. I want to be disgraceful in my dotage. I've paid my tax. I've worked in top organisations in the City of London. I've made millions for lots of people. Right. I've done my bit, and now I can be old and disgraceful in peace and quiet, and fuck off with a lot of you.
The end has come.
Well, I survived 5 heart attacks, for God's sake. You know, only the good die young.
Yeah. Well, so, well, they're leaving it a bit late for me, aren't they?
You know, I've had my fun. I've done a lot of sailing. I've raced to some good effect when I was younger.
Yeah.
Winning 2 national titles and coming second at a world championship. You know,
brilliant. Brilliant.
I've sailed at most oceans, been in the Royal Navy, worked at Lloyd's of London.
Wow.
Raced for, and done all that stuff. That's... So, you know, and I've got a daughter. She wasn't into sailing. She got into ponies, so I've got into horses.
So you're not letting your age get in your way whatsoever. Now, when I say age,
well, I'm not letting my age or my 5 heart attacks and my bypass operation.
Are you serious? So you've a bigger medical file than poor Margaret has. That's unreal, though.
I do feel sorry for Margaret. You know, sort of when we sold my daughter's pony because she outgrew it. That was pretty much the last time I spent any time with her, and that was a couple of years ago. And she's now 16, and I haven't heard from her in 8 months.
Wow. You're an extraordinary character. 5 heart attacks.
That's not what a lot of people say.
Anyway.
I can put you in touch with people who would be less kind.
No, I've met too many of them. It's okay. So, so age discrimination, it doesn't affect you in any way, does it?
Nothing affects me. I couldn't care less what you think or what anybody else thinks. And I certainly sort of. I was brought up in an era when, my secondary school, 30% of my fellow students weren't resident in the UK.
Right.
But the fact that they were whatever they were, yes, I was aware of their ethnicity and their backgrounds, but I didn't have to make any allowances for it, and they didn't have to make any allowances for me.
Right.
We had 2 lads. It was quite a good academic standard at my school. You were definitely in the top 20% academically in the country to get in there, to pass the exam to get into the at 12. We had 2 Iranian lads in the maths class, and they were absolutely fascist.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't slow, so you know we learned that the different people had amazing attributes, and they could be useful parts of the team.
Very much so.
We didn't have to be. All this DEI. DEI is racism. DEI is out and out racism. It is patronising rubbish.
Right.
You know, all these people who say you have to, if you have to give somebody a hand up to get a job, you only have to listen to, say, Morgan Freeman talking to that twat, Don Lemon. Lemon by name, lemon by nature. And you just realise that, you know, Morgan Freeman, you stop, well, he's talking to some guy, you stop calling me a black man and I'll stop calling you a white man. Mm. And that's exactly the way it should be.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you're what you are, it's who you are, the individual behind the eyes, not the image that the left would have you want.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Remember
that song, Everything is Beautiful, Ray Stevens?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not interested in what your fucking pronouns are. And you can't tell me what to call you.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I will tell you what I like you to call me.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been in Ireland, I like people to call me David, but in Ireland I only get called Dave, and I hate Dave.
Or as
maybe they're trying to tell me something.
As Morgan Freeman might say, "Oh, that David." So just stay where you are, Jessica. Are you there, Jessica?
Hey, Gareth.
Hi. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
Okay.
I feel like a baby, though. I feel like I'm the youngest you've had so far, don't you? Don't worry, I'm not bad as that girl you had on yesterday.
She wasn't.
Oh, my God.
She wasn't. Do you know, I've got to stand up for her here.
You can't say something like that and not expect people to, like, tear you apart. You can.
I just think it's...
She's part of my generation. She's the reason. It's people like her why we get a bad reputation, why everything's so low. It goes both ways. All people get certain images. And when you hear someone like that talking about, you know, their elders who you're meant to have respect for, then we all get cast with the same brush of, oh, the youngs are just disrespectful. They're this, they're that. And I'm there, like, look, I'm just trying to get by day to day. Like, I'm nearly halfway through my life. Just let me get through the rest of it in peace.
Can I ask you, what halfway point are you at? Just rather than ask you your age, what's your halfway point? did you like that? That was clever.
I just went 25 about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, come on. That's not halfway.
Ah, no, I don't
even close to halfway.
Dave's only halfway.
I'm being real about it, Gareth. I'm not expecting to live to be 80s and 70s. I'm going to call a spade a spade and say mid-50s and then...
Really? God. I was only kind
that
of.
That was nearly two decades ago for me.
I was only getting going in my mid 50s. I began to realise that I had to grow up when I was about 55. So I'm working on that at the moment.
I always loved that line by Jimmy Carr. Your mum said, "What do you want to do? When I grow up, I want to be a comedian." And your mum said, "You can't do both."
I like it. Jessica.
I think Jimmy Carr's mother's funny than he is.
Jessica, I'd say, change the fraction. I'd say probably you're about a third of the way there. And you probably get an extra 5 or 6 when you get the 3/3.
Well, if you want to be generous, I'll take it.
Okay, great. Well,
before COVID, the average age in Ireland was 81, 82.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, yeah. Now, I mean, we could get on to the subject of, do you really want to live to be very, very old? Because obviously you're running into the whole prospect of you know, leaving yourself exposed to other illnesses and that.
Oh, I'm keeping an eye out for 30, only 5 years away when I start seeing a little grey hair or a little wrinkle here or there. I'll be going straight to the Botox. Did they get rid of it?
I don't know. I'm beginning to think now I live on another planet, actually.
I love the story about Billy Connolly when he was out in Australia. He met this lady who was 100 years old,
mm-hmm.
and she said she's got one wrinkle and she's sitting on it.
Stop. Now, Jessica, see, you really do want to get into your 60s, because this is the joy people in their 60s
have. That's what I'm missing out
on. We just completely take the piss out of life. That's what we do.
No, but will they tell you what really gets me going now? Like, and like, now, don't get me wrong, I respect people who are older than me. They do have more life experience than I have, so I can't fault them on it. But what drives me up the walls when you hear people, like, giving out about people my age and all, saying, like, oh, well, you could have a house, you could have this and that. Because when I was your age, I had a house, I had a family, I had a great job, this, that and the other. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, well, the economy was working for you back in those days.
Yeah.
Like, no. they just don't want to seem to accept that, and then they look at us like, oh no, they're just lazy, or using that as excuses.
No, that's
but anyone, no matter what age you are, you can see that the economy is not going to work for people in my age's favour.
Mm.
You know that way.
Yeah, but see, you got to remember, age discrimination works both ways, Jessica. You know, older people can discriminate against you, and I would say that's just arrogance on their part. Like, no one has a right to say, you know, when I was your age, I had a house and I had two cars, and they're different times. Are you enjoying your life at the moment? Like, as someone who's 25, you enjoying life?
I'm enjoying it as much as I can. Now, obviously, like, there are things that I wanted for myself when I'm at the age that I am now. And sadly, just those haven't come to fruition. Main one being, I always thought I'd have my own place to call my own by the time I was 25, 26. But sadly, just with the way things are going at the moment, economy-wise and everything like that, that's just, I know that's not going to happen. So I'm hoping maybe by age 30, 35, that'll happen for me.
Mm.
But we'll just have to see how the cards fall, where the chips lay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, I'm enjoying life as much as I can. I mean, I have my chain, my ball and chain anyway, that keeps me going. And we have a little puppy, so that's keeping us entertained.
Yeah. Well, the puppy's the boss, that's for sure. We have two dogs, you know. We have to knock on the door and one of the dogs opens it to let us in. They're the boss.
I always mess with her saying, well, let's start with a goldfish. If we can keep that alive, then we'll get a dog. But I was just out and about town. I got a call and she's like, oh, guess what we got? And I thought she was going to say, like, maybe a new job or something. And she goes, no, we got a dog. I was like, what the hell?
What's the dog's name?
Bella.
Oh, Bella. Beautiful name. Beautiful name.
So whenever I walk in, I'm like, ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bella. Let me bring Andy in here. Andy, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. We're talking... I've forgotten what we're talking about, actually, now.
Ageism.
Okay. I was going to say, Gareth, forgetfulness. Yes, Andy, go ahead.
I came across a video today about Beat on the Street. You're as young as you feel. Remember you did it in Waterford?
Oh, God, yeah. And was I wearing that awful gold lamé jacket?
I'll do it, and the 7-Up and the big kick happens.
Please don't tell anybody about that, will you? Please, just keep that between ourselves. Okay?
But what I'm trying to say is, Gareth, I went to the Debs with a girl before she was 18 and I was only 24. And one of my friends said, you're too old to be going to the Debs. So I don't look. Doesn't matter whatever age you are, I think you can go to the Debs if you want to.
Yeah, you can. And like, just as a matter of interest, you were 24 at the Debs, were you?
Yeah, and it was her Debs. She was 18,
right.
But she was a good friend of mine, you
but
know.
But she was happy to bring you. But did anyone at the Debs party, any other younger people, make you feel old?
No, they did not.
Right. Okay.
But you make it a nice garret. You get out and enjoy yourself. And what I like as well is about the college courses, the way mature students, no matter what the age, you know, you can go back and everyone can get the encouragement and inspiration. So as the Munster said to the brave and faithful, nothing's impossible.
That's very true, yeah. There's a solution to everything, isn't there?
Now you said it, Garrett.
That's it. Great to chat to you, Andy. Thanks a lot.
I'm here with the pigeons, Garrett.
How many of
the
them?
The pigeons. 20.
20 of them. Wow. Do they keep you awake at night?
Oh, they're brilliant. They keep you young, and the Jack Russells as well.
Oh, you have Jack Russells as well. Wow. Okay, you got your hands, I love your the hands dog. Full there. Ah, they're beautiful. Thanks, Andy. Take care.
Beautiful. Take care, Gareth.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
David, what does your future hold for you? You sound like a man who's really just sort of saying you're kind of closing a door on one part of your life and you're opening another. Would that be the case?
Well, it's the case. I've got a few acres down in Corcoran, and I look after some horses, and I've got my bees, all that sort of stuff. I enjoy sailing. I enjoy boating.
Mm.
Great. So I've got the little boat and stuff. So yeah, so I just go off and do what I like. I haven't worked proper since my first heart attack, which is over 20 years ago now.
That's before the last four, isn't it?
Yeah, that one. Well, which one? That was the Boer War, wasn't it?
Or the Korean War, was it? I'm a hypochondriac. You got to understand that, and I'm a bad one as well. When did the heart attacks come quite quickly? Did they follow each other quite quickly, or were they?
No. The first one was 2004,
right?
Which was ago, just after a rugby 2003, rather, just after a rugby game. I was 43 at the time.
Yeah, you were playing. You were playing or cheering?
I was playing. Yeah, yeah. I used to play at a club called Worthing. I used to play in the vets team, obviously.
I know Worthing.
Although there was one fateful day when I turned up, because I used to accommodate some of the young rugby players that were over from New Zealand and South Africa at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used to drop them up to the club before their game. And I dropped them up one day. And Foxy, the captain of the second team, said, "David, you got your kid here." And I just roared with laughter because I've never seen the standard they played at. Our second team, actually, at that time, had two future England internationals.
Right.
Joe Marler and Joe Launchbury. So I'd never seen rugby at that standard. I played
the
game.
Playing. Wow.
Okay. I played with them, yeah. I made about one ruck in four. I was just making up the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, most of the other players had more talent in their little finger than I had in my entire being. And the rugby ball was always entirely irrelevant to my presence on the field. Yeah, but as the coach said, you know, we could do anything with enthusiasm.
Right. I've never met anybody who's had five heart attacks. Do you have your own personal cardiologist?
No. Yeah, we had a big row in 22 when he was doing the.
You fell out with your.
Yeah, we had a big row, a huge row. 22, just before he was doing just before he did the bypass.
He was holding the scalpel, and you had a falling out with him. Well, okay.
And yeah, he was furious with my attitude towards the coronavirus vaccine. Mm-hmm. And it has to be said, well, I used to be an underwriter, so I can do risk assessment, and I know when numbers are wrong, and the COVID numbers were always wrong. It was always obvious to me that they were lying. In March 2020, I gave my then 12-year-old daughter. A copy of Animal Farm, Road to Wigan Pier, and 1984.
Mm.
She's a prolific reader. She had the whole lot read in a couple of months.
Wow.
And she completely understood where I was coming from. She saw that this whole thing was a complete con, was a complete takeover by the an unelected political group to run the world. And that's exactly what it is. Now, if you want to listen to a professor from Brown's University, a guy called Mark Blythe.
Yes, I've heard of him, yet.
I actually sent an email to Niall about a week ago or something, giving him contact. But Mark Blythe gives you a complete history of the economic plan from 1943 onwards, how the Czech economist wrote a 20-page essay on what's going to happen with capitalism. He completely predicted the 70s, 80s, the whole collapse of that model of capitalism, the new model and the way things would go.
And then you're moving into the whole World Forum situation then, are you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. But he will explain it, but he does it beautifully. What I like about Mark Blythe is that when he's explaining something, his whole video, start to finish, is like 1 minute.
Wow.
It's you know, what I found in my existence on this planet is if anyone can explain something simply and briefly, they actually do understand and they do know.
Mm.
And that is why he completely got the Brexit call right, why he got Trump, why Trump should be elected again, the whole thing. He understands it all. He sees where it's coming from, and he doesn't necessarily disagree with it. But this total control and remove, wipe out of... They've been trying to... What happened with Margaret, the previous lady you were talking to, the separation of parents and children, that is something that the political parties have been trying to achieve for the last 10, 20, 30 years. And all
trying
of that.
Trying to achieve, in what sense?
Yeah.
That they're trying to...
The countries and the like in Ireland, you've got the I can't remember what they're called, which group, what part of the government body is.
Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Greens.
No, not the political party. There is the bureaucrats.
All right. Okay.
Forget the political parties. They're just window dressing. Mm. It's the bureaucrats who are actually doing all the work, and they're doing the reason why you're always going to get bad decisions. By politicians, is that they're only fed certain information and certain options
by the bureaucrats. So you're talking about the civil service?
The civil service,
which would be similar to the Home Office in the UK, wouldn't it? Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Well, the Home Office hadn't been fit for purpose since Blair screwed the whole thing up in 1997 onwards.
Winston Churchill. Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't Winston. Back in those days, it was okay. It was right. It was okay.
Kind of fell apart after him, didn't it?
Bernard Ingram was the first real disaster with the civil service in the UK, and that was in the mid late 80s.
Yeah.
And it's just got worse since then. But obviously, the left is taking over the universities, and the fact that, you know, in universities it is quite possible for stupid ideas to succeed and thrive because they're not up against any proper tests of any meaningful. Meaningful in any meaningful way, you know. Sort of when I'm skippering yachts or taking boats from one country to another or whatever, or teaching students without sailing, you have to have everything on board with you before you go. There are no 7-Elevens to pick stuff up. And most, you know, I was skippering boats when I was 18. Mm. How many 18-year-olds would be able to take a 43-foot yacht off across the ocean with a bunch of people and keep them safe? It's a different way, different upbringing.
I'm going to have to let you go.
No,
it's fine. I just realised that Worthing is where that beautiful toffee is made, isn't it?
The beautiful...
You know, isn't it Worthing? Oh, that's Worthing's toffee, isn't it?
Werther's.
Werther's.
Werther's
original, isn't it? Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Werther's original, yeah. That's not Worthing, no.
Isn't there an ale made in Worthing, am I thinking? I'm kind of trying to put my finger on it because I do know Worthing. Anyway, we can talk about
this
again.
The only thing that comes near Worthing is Horsham Ale, Harvey's King and Barnes Bitter.
Yeah, that's
the we've got two lovely bitters down in Sussex. One's Irvine Lewis, and one's in Horsham. You've got King and Barnes and I can't remember. Jibs, I nearly when you said you couldn't remember what you were talking the topic. You said I was saying that's an age thing.
What was the topic?
Oh, well, there we go. Well, which topic? Who are you?
Have a nice evening, David. Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, been lovely talking to you. Yeah. Cheers, sir.
Chat to you soon.
Care,
thanks
man.
A lot. Thanks, Jessica.
Yes, please.
Take
back.
Care.
Have
a
bye.
Okay. Keep in touch. Thanks, Jessica. Great to talk to you, David. Hi there, John.
Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Will you stay in the line? Because we're just going to take a quick break for the 10 o'clock news. And I'm sorry for keeping you there so long, but David...
No, you're grand. Yeah.
David's a man of few words. I was trying to get him to
talk. Yeah, exactly. He's like myself.
Oh, good. I'm going to chat to you in a couple of minutes. Stay right where you are, okay?
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.